Lord Jagna, the cart stopped outside the house of Bhaktivinoda Thakur for 3 days. And the mother of Bhima Prasad, Srimati Bhagavati Devadasi, she brought the little baby out, and the garland of Lord Jagannath, it fell on and garlanded little Bhima Prasad. Stated that when he appeared, that astrologer stated that he had qualities of a Mahapurush. Mahapurush means greatly liberated person descending from the spiritual world. That not only did he have, it said that in Mahapurush that there are 32 symptoms of Mahapurush, but not only did he have some of these qualities, 8 of these qualities, or 16 of these qualities, but he had all 32 qualities of a Mahapurush. And from very young, then he started to manifest qualities of a greatly liberated soul and great acharya. When he was about 2 years old, then some fruit was brought into the house. And spontaneously, just as Raghav Pandit Prabhu, his child, will spontaneously go for things as he's going for the bell right now. So little Bhima Prasad, spontaneously he went for mango and went to take mango. And immediately, Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur, he stopped him and he said, no, that actually this mango has not yet been offered to Giridhari. So why are you taking that which has not been offered? You should not do this. And though he was only a small boy, less than 4 years of age, then immediately from that point, he took the vow that he would never take mango again. So such determination, we see that sometimes we may make some determination that we may not take some food which has been cooked by non-devotees and offer. We may make that determination, then after some months we're traveling, then we eat crisp and this and that and so many things. But he made this determination when he was about 2-3 years old, and for the rest of life he would never take. Swamiji, Srila A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami, he would often comment that even when the disciples of Srila Prabhupada would offer him mango, then he would not accept. He would say, no, that I have
great offender.
That I have made offense in this regard, and he would not take. So, as he grew up, he was trained by his father. Actually, he was a Shutida. Shutida means that he had such great memory that whatever he heard, he would never forget. And not only would he not forget, but he had perfect ability to be able to present whatever scripture he read according to perfect Siddhanta.
How long should I speak
for?
So he for instance, by the time he was 6-7 years of age, he memorized all Bhagavad Gita. Not only did he have perfect memory of Bhagavad Gita, but he was able to speak Bhagavad Gita in any audience with perfect knowledge of all Siddhanta. It stated that even in learning English, that he learned English just by reading the Oxford Dictionary. So his English was so high class that to understand him, his English even, an English person could not understand that it was of such a high caliber. And when he spoke Siddhant, I've heard it said that when he would speak, give discourses, that the Siddhanta was so powerful and so high caliber that all the disciples would have to go and hear from another disciple to explain what it is that the Guru Maharaj had explained. Though his disciples were so high quality, many of his disciples, just as when a great liberated soul descends from the spiritual sky, then along with him associates will come. As Krishna, when Krishna comes, Krishna does not come by himself, but he comes with so many different, with his associates, just as we're hearing before, that before Krishna came, then Balaram, he came and prepared the way. So similarly, when these great personalities, they come, then they come with the associates who are siddhas in their own right. So, as he grew up, he showed his great knowledge, his great intellect, by being very erudite in school, even though he never really studied his schoolwork. Rather, he would always keep with him books of Narottam Das Thakur, like Prem Bhakti Chandrika, Pratana, and whatever time he had, he would absorb himself in the teachings of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. He said that he did not want to waste time in these different materialistic studies, but rather that his sole object in life was to be one-pointed towards the mission of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So he also, he was very proficient. He went to college in, I think, was it in Calcutta? And he was very proficient in astrology and also Sanskrit. And he for his proficiency in astrology, he received the title Siddhanta Sarasvati. But after some time, he gave up his education, though he was, as I mentioned before, he was so erudite, because he said that if he showed so much scholarship in school and became so accomplished in his studies, that then this would take away from his devotion life. So he left school, and he absorbed he thought that better he would absorb himself in his devotion life and bhajan. So there are many different pastimes that went on with Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Prabhupada. So I'll just touch on a few. He was the his father, Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur, he trained him in his publishing work. So he became expert in all different aspects of publishing, editing, and even writing. One example is that there was some dispute between smarter Brahmins and Vaishnavas, because the smarter Brahmins, they were saying that unless one was born a Brahmin, then he had no right to worship the deity. And also, they said that even if one was transcendentally situated, that if he wasn't born a Brahmin, then he could not be guru. So they set a date for a discussion to be held on this subject. And it was expected that Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur, that he would go. But during this time, Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur, he became very, very ill, and he wasn't able to go. And Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur was so outraged by the situation that he would loudly exclaim, that isn't there anybody who will be able to present the proper Siddhanta, the proper teachings? And hearing this, then Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Prabhupada, then he wrote a paper in which, I forget the name of the paper. Anyway, in the paper, he had different categories. First of all, he explained what is a Brahmin. And then he glorified the virtues of a Brahmin. And then he explained what is a Vaishnava, and explained how a Vaishnava is superior to a Brahmin. And that a Vaishnava, just as Srila Sanatana Goswami had explained, that just as bell metal can be turned into gold by an alchemical process, then similarly, even though one may not be born a Brahmin, but if he has taken proper diksha from a bona fide spiritual master and undergone the process of diksha and become fully fixed in Sambandha Gyan, that he is actually a Vaishnava and much superior than just a Brahmin. So when he presented this paper to Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur, Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur, he became very, very happy and gave him his blessings. And then he went to this assembly of pandits and Vaishnavas. So to make a long story short, the Brahmanas, they presented their arguments, and then when Srila Bhaktisiddhanta, he started to present his arguments. His arguments were so powerful and irrefutable that after 3 days of debate, the smarter Brahmanas, they could not say anything. And there was a very big crowd. There were thousands of people who came to this assembly to witness. And after, they became so hysterical seeing that an Acharya had emerged that they started to storm to get the dust of Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Sarasvati Thakur's lotus feet. So the police who were there to protect him, then they forcibly, they picked up Srila Prabhupada and then they put his feet in a big vat of water. Even though Srila Prabhupada had a vow that he would not accept, he did not want anybody, did not allow people to touch his lotus feet. And even when anybody came to offer him obeisances, he would return the obeisances. Even after he had thousands of disciples, he would always address his disciples as Prabhu. So in this situation, they forcibly, against his will, they picked him up. And he was a very big person. They picked him up and then they put his feet in the vat. And then they allowed the upsurging crowd of thousands of people to come and they took the water from his lotus feet. And in this way, they were pacified. So, also explained that when he was, I think when he was in his teens or early 20s, that one time he had a debate with one Shastriji, who was very, very renowned and expert. I think this was just in astrology. But even though he was still just a youngster and a student, actually, and he was debating with this Shastriji, he defeated him so profoundly that the person passed in his pants and had to run away. So in this way, he would travel. After some time, he traveled all over India, preaching the doctrines of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And he became, and he was so powerful and indefeatable that when others, opposing elements would come across him, then they would run away. He was known as Nrisinga Guru. Then there are pastimes of when he took initiation from Srila Gaura Kishordas Babaji Maharaj. It's explained that after Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur, he had established Sonanda Sukhada Kunj in, on the other side of the Ganges, and the other river is Jalangi. On the other side of the Jalangi river, then one Paramahamsa sadhu, he came from Vrindavan. His name was Srila Gaura Kishordas Babaji Maharaj, and he was renowned and very, very renounced. He had, practically speaking, he had no possessions but his japa mala, and he had just very few possessions. And upon meeting Srila Prabhupada, then he was immediately, there was this spontaneous attraction between the two. And he gave him some knots of, was it rope, that he used to use for, that he gave him for chanting japa. So Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Prabhupada, he was very fortunate that in this place, he was sometime here discussing discourses, which included Srila Gaura Kishordas Babaji Maharaj, Srila Jagannath Das Babaji Maharaj, and Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur. And in due course of time, then Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur, he inspired him, encouraged him that he should go and he should take diksha from Srila Gaura Kishordas Babaji Maharaj. But upon going to Srila Gaura Kishordas Babaji Maharaj, Srila Gaura Kishordas Babaji Maharaj had made the vow that he would not accept any disciples. And when he went, Srila Gaura Kishordas Babaji Maharaj said, "Why are you coming to me? That you are such an erudite scholar, and already Srila Gaura Kishordas Babaji Maharaj has so much honor for Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur and for Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Prabhupada." He said, "You're such coming from such an aristocratic family, because Srila Bhaktisiddhanta, he came in lineage from Narottam Das Thakur. And he said, you're so learned, you have the title Sarasvati Thakur, and practically speaking, I am illiterate. But because Srila Bhaktisiddhanta, he was not an ordinary soul, an ordinary soul would not be able to differentiate between who's Srila Gurudev was just explained 2 days ago, that a Kanishtha or a Madhyam Kanishtha will not be able to differentiate between who's Uttam, who's Madhyam, and who's Kanishtha. And in this way, there might even be some offenses made, or one may honor somebody who is a Kanishtha as an Uttam Adhikari. But Srila Bhaktisiddhanta, knowing and also being inspired by his father, then he was persistent. But in his heart, he knew, because he could differentiate who was, what was the level of Srila Gaurakishore Das Babaji Maharaj. And he begged him for initiation. And Srila Gaurakishore Das Babaji Maharaj, he said that first I have to ask Mahaprabhu, and if Mahaprabhu wills. So that we can understand that what kind of person can have direct contact with Mahaprabhu, and that when Mahaprabhu tells him, then he will reply if he can give initiation or not. By this we can understand what is the position of Srila Gaurakishore Das Babaji Maharaj. So then Srila Prabhupada, he went about 2 or 3 times, and each time Srila Gaurakishore Das Babaji Maharaj said, no, I forgot to ask Mahaprabhu. And then finally, exasperated, and by this time Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur, he was also, he spoke on his behalf to Srila Gaurakishore Das Babaji Maharaj, that please be merciful to him, because if you're not merciful to him, that he will give up his life. He cannot maintain his life like this. During this time, practically he had stopped eating, he was in such a state, and finally, he just broke down crying at the lotus feet of Gaurakishore Das Babaji Maharaj. And he said that if you do not accept me, then I will give up my life. So seeing the determination of Srila Bhaktisiddhanta, so Srila Bhaktisiddhanta in this way, showing how to approach Guru, that the tendency is that because Guru is so merciful, what have we done? Srila Gurudev, he's coming, and he's traveling all over the world. What effort are we making? And rather, he's pleading with us. But actually, it's stated in Shastra that one should approach Guru in such a desperate mood, as if one's head is on fire, and that one needs the mercy, the cooling effect of the lotus feet of Guru to put out this fire of material existence. So in this way, Srila Bhaktisiddhanta, though he's a Mahapurusha, a liberated soul, an eternal associate of the Lord, but still he's showing how he's crying, and he's at the point that he's ready to give up his life if he does not get this mercy of Diksha from his Guru. So this melted the heart of Srila Gaurakishore Das Babaji Maharaj. Already his heart was melted, but to the effect, to the point that he consented to give him Diksha. And so he asked him to go and take bath in the Ganges, and when he came, then he initiated him. The name was Varshabhanavi Devi Dayita Das. So there are many other pastimes, but I think there are many other Vaishnavas much more qualified and realized. And also Srila Gurudev will speak, so time is limited. It's already almost 12 o'clock, so I'll stop there.
Now I'm requesting Srimad Bhakti Rishikesh Maharaj. He should come and speak something.
I think for my own welfare, Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur's writing was the most inspiring for me, maybe because I had some education, and to just hear his delivery was so invigorating to me. So I was always reading whatever I could get from Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur. And just recently, I was speaking with Krishna Keshav Brahmachari, one of Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur's disciples in Jagannath Puri, and he related a story to me that I hadn't heard before. So there's so many stories to tell, but I'll just tell you this one. Maybe Gurudev, you could help me a little, because I can't remember the last. The oldest brother of Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur's name was? Vinod Prashad, perhaps? The oldest?
Fifth Maharaj.
The oldest son of Bhakti Vinod Thakur.
No, no, the choto sabje chilen.
Dalita?
No, the choto sabje bodo.
It was another son. Wasn't Lalita. I think Vinod Prashad, but I can't remember. But anyway, the oldest... Bhimal Prashad was number 7 or number 8 son of Bhakti Vinod Thakur.
Fourth son.
Are you sure? Well, fourth son or seventh child, perhaps.
Anyway.
At any rate, he was the favorite of the eldest son. I think his name was Vinod Prashad, but I can't remember. No? Anyway, whatever it was. But this was an extraordinary exchange. It's a shame I can't remember all of it.
Kamala Prashad, Bhimala, Kamala Prashad one. And also, Kamala Prashad.
I can't remember. But this extraordinary pastime was that he became ill, and he was the favorite of his elder brother, Bhimala Prashad was. Very, very close they were. And his elder brother became ill, very, very gravely ill. And so his elder brother told one of the brothers and sisters, please bring Bhimala Prashad.
Yes.
And he said, I need the dust of his lotus feet. And so this is very strange for the older brother to ask for the dust of the lotus feet of the younger brother. And Bhaktivinoda came to hear about it. And he came to the eldest son and he said, what are you doing? You know, Bhimala Prashad is only a boy. By that time he was 7, 8 years old. He's only a boy, of course he'll give you the dust of his lotus feet. Why are you asking? And he said, because in my previous life I was a Vaishnava Acharya and I made offense to Bhimala Prashad. And I have to get the mercy from him or my life is incomplete. So then Bhimala Prashad gave the dust of his lotus feet and his elder brother passed away a few days later, what I was told.
And the time passed, when he was passing, then Tilaka Ramani Sampradaya came automatically in his forehead. I did offense the lotus feet of Bhimala Prashad. So he must forgive me, then I can die very easily.
And the only other, the other consideration that I have, that I always ask the devotees
when... Perhaps the name was Achyuta.
No. Prasadhi Nam Chile.
The only other consideration that when I speak to devotees about Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, I can't really tell who is Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, so I ask them a question. I say, who was it who set up the Tirthas of Krishna in Vrindavan? It was Mahaprabhu and his disciples. They set up all these Tirthas. And who was it that set up the Tirthas of Mahaprabhu? Bhaktisiddhanta. So who is Bhaktisiddhanta? Oh my God, to Bhaktisiddhanta. Chakshur Nandiritam Vrindam Tasmai Shri.
Abhinna Bhulim Bhaktam Deva. Dikala hava, sir.
So tumi ekhane bosho. Aar tumi order dao. Who will speak now?
Shabbat
today is such an auspicious day, as Gurudev was saying, appearance day or disappearance day, to fix our minds on these most elevated personalities and to have the opportunity to speak about them and hear about them is very invigorating for the consciousness. And the pastimes of Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Maharaj Prabhupada are so inspiring for all of us, his tremendous strength of character, his erudition, his scholarship in his writings will always elevate our consciousnesses. Just recently in the harmonists that was produced in Vrindavan, there's some very beautiful articles, and I was reading one of them, and then I decided to take notes on it, and I was aware that every single word, without exception, was pertinent to what Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Maharaj was saying. So his writings, as Rishikesh Maharaj was saying, are very, very valuable to us all to become inspired and understand Guru Tattva, all Tattvas. We can get so much light from Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Maharaj. So there are so many pastimes and stories connected with his preaching. I will just relate one or two very briefly. There's the wonderful example of when Srila Bhakti Prakyan Keshava Maharaj was in the mat, I think in Calcutta or Navadvipa, and Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Maharaj had asked him to take one boy out of the temple. Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Maharaj had, there was one devotee in the temple, he was a little obnoxious in his behavior, and Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Maharaj had said to this devotee, actually, you are the best devotee in the temple. And the devotee had sort of believed him, that actually he was the best devotee in the temple, so he had become a little disturbed by that himself. And he was causing disturbance to the other devotees. So finally, after much difficulty, Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Maharaj, he asked Srila Bhakti Prajnana Kesha Maharaj to please, you take this boy's baggage and you ask him to leave the mat. So in that evening, Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Maharaj had found that actually the boy was still in the mat, and Srila Bhakti Prajnana Kesha Maharaj was nowhere to be found, and eventually they located Srila Bhakti Prajnana Kesha Maharaj, and then he was brought before Srila Bhaktisiddhanta. And Srila Bhaktisiddhanta asked him, why you didn't take this boy away? I gave you instructions to do this. So Srila Bhakti Prakyan Kesha Maharaj, he said, because I know your heart is so soft that you are asking me to do this, but actually tomorrow you will be regretful of this, and you only came here to help the conditioned jeeves. So knowing the inner mood of his Guru Maharaj, he didn't follow that instruction. So that's a small pastime of his. There's another pastime also. In Calcutta, just before he was about to leave his manifest pastime, there was a man who was in charge of running the mat, and he was a grihastha, and he was taking a lot of the funds from the collections and using them for his own livelihood. He had his son being nicely educated and so on. So the mat devotees became very disturbed by this. And actually, all the sannyasis headed up by Srila Sridhar Maharaj, they approached Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Maharaj and they said, we're very disturbed by this devotee who is taking your funds. And Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Maharaj, he became angry with the sannyasis. He said, I am coming to give bhakti, and this devotee is just taking this money and you are not feeling compassion for this devotee, that is all he can see. All he can see is that he wants to take this material wealth. I'm giving the most divine transcendental wealth, and he's only taking this material wealth. You should all feel very compassionate for him and help him. So like this, he would see with such clarity and transcendental vision that he would teach by every example, even apparently negative aspects, he would always very clearly give his instructions. So Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Maharaj is always present with us. There's never a moment when he's absent, even though his manifest pastimes are concluded, but still he is completely with us at every moment, and we can meditate so much on many of his pastimes. So that's all.
Shriman Naman Krishna Vidya Alankar Prabhu will speak as much as time he can. Because he has written so many points.
I don't know, Guru has written points.
Seven points he has written.
So many points.
One day
you will discover new. Up to 1, 2, 3, 4 PM you can speak.
I will just speak there.
But Krishna Das Prabhu will become fun of
you.
Srila Gurudev ordered me to glorify Srila Prabhupada Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Goswami Thakur. In his pranam mantra, we have seen Namo Vishnu Padaya Gaurav Prasthaya Bhutale
Krishna Prasthaya.
That's the Bhakti Kuryan
Krishna.
No, Krishna Prasthaya.
Krishna Prasthaya Bhutale Srimate Bhakti Saraswati Dinamine. So here, Krishna Prasthaya Bhutale and Gaurav Prasthaya Bhutale is same. Because Krishna is Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu rather than Krishna.
This is second intention.
Second new point.
Okay. Like Pasila Rupa Goswami Pad, Sri Narottam Thakur composed one slok. Sri Chaitanya Manovishtam Sthapitam Jena Bhutale Sayang Rupa Padamayam Dadatisa Padantikam. This and Namam Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prasthaya Bhutale or Gaur Prasthaya Bhutale Srimate Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Dinamine is same.
New book will come. New book.
I've never seen any.
New book.
But this name is
it's new. New.
New. New.
Naveen. New. New.
So, what is Sri Chaitanya Manovishtam? Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu Krishna, when Krishna is in Aprakar Leela, he was thinking that I could not realize three things in my Prakar Leela. I hope that all of you know this, the cause of Mahaprabhu's incarnation in this world, Sri Radhaya Pranaya Mahima. So Krishna could not taste, come here, so he took the complexion of Srimati Radhika and his and her mood and became Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So Mahaprabhu want to distribute, Mahaprabhu came in this world for two reasons. One, premaras nirjas korite asadhan, ragmarga bhakti loke korite pracharan. He want to taste the essence of premaras. This premaras is Radhaya Pranaya Mahima. This in three slokas, in this slokas in 3 points in mention, what is premaras nirjas. And ragamarga bhakti loke korita pracharan. And Mahaprabhu want to preach the ragamarga. Ragamarga means, if you want to know ragamarga, we have to know at first what is ragatmika. After that we can know what is raganuga and ragamarga. Ragatmika means, iste sarasiki raga paramahavishtata bhavet tanmaija bhavet bhakti satra ragatmika udita. Ishta Sarasvati Raga. Ishta means here Krishna. There's naturally affection and naturally rag, attachment for Krishna. And they have so many, they are too much absorbed for his service. So if this kind of avishtata is there, they call agadmik. Just like I give you an example, then you can understand. If there is one glass and there is some color, if you put the color, you can take out the color very easily. But if you melt the glass and put color, then it will mix as a manner you could not take it out by any soap, by any acid, you could not take it out. So raga was there in soul of that who has too much affection for Krishna, that means that Vajavasi. So ishte sarasviti raga paramavishvata bhavet tanmuija bhavet bhakti sattvaret ragod mikodita. That means Vajavasis have so much affection for Krishna in their soul. So they are called ragatmik, who is eternal associates of Krishna. They are called ragatmik. And ragatmika unusritta jaso raganugocchate. He who want to follow ragatmik jan, that seeing their activity towards Krishna, or hearing their activities, service propensity for Krishna. If any sadhak, any devotional practitioner want to serve Krishna, same mood, same way, they call raganuga. So Mahaprabhu want to preach in this world raga marga bhakti. That means how we can adopt that raganuga bhakti. Mahaprabhu want to preach this thing. So for Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur, he came in this world, that Krishna Prastha Bhutale, that means Mahakrishna, being former Mahaprabhu, want to distribute Raganuga Marga, Rag Marga Bhakti. Srila Saraswati Thakur also came in this world to preach Rag Marga Bhakti. And it's another Pranam Mantra. Srivatsa Bhanavi Devi Doitaya Pripardhaye Krishna Sambandha Vigyana Daine Prabhave Namaha. Why he came to give us relationship with Krishna? Day before yesterday, during morning walk, Srila Gurudev told about Sambandhagan, who is Madhyam Kanishtha. He has relation, what kind of relationship? The relation with Bhagavan and Jeev, relation with Bhagavan and Maya, relation with Jeev and Jeev, relation with Maya and Maya. So Saraswati Thakur Prabhupada came to
Jeev and Maya.
Is there any difference between Jod and Maya?
Same thing. Jod, manifestation of Maya's potency, this is called Jod. So what is different between two things who came from
their understanding? What he is telling?
He's saying that there's no difference.
Maya and Jod are both same thing.
Yeah.
It is quite wrong.
What's Jod?
It's quite wrong.
Maya is potency or power of Krishna. Power.
Yeah.
And it has been divided into two. Mahamaya, Jogmaya. And the things which has been transferred from the Maya is Chetan or Jod. From Jogmaya, Swarup Shakti coming, transferred, they are Chit Vastu. And the matters which has come from Mahamaya are Jod, like all these things in this. So Maya and Jod are not one thing. The things which has come out from Maya, they are Jod.
Mahamaya.
So we cannot say that Maya and Jod are same. There is some difference. So try to speak very carefully.
Okay, so difference between Jod and Jod. So Prabhupada.
Relationship.
So relation between Jod and Jod, and relation between Jeev and Jod. So these five kind of relationship, the Samandagan, Madhyam Kanishtha has. So Prabhupada came in this world to distribute this kind of relationship? No. So what kind of relationship? Jeev is eternal servant of Krishna. And he has some relationship in his constitution, in his constitution form. Some are dasa, that they think Krishna our master and I am his servant. It is called servitor mood. And sokha, that Krishna is my friend. And Vatsala Krishna is our son. And Madhur Krishna is of my beloved. This kind of relationship Prabhupada want to give us, what want to preach us. So Krishna Sambandha Vijnana Daini Prabhave Nama. Not only Sambandha. Prabhupada is so merciful, causeless merciful. Karmaya Vijnavan Deha. That Sambandha Vijnana. Vijnana means knowledge with realization. So Prabhupada is so merciful. To whom you give this knowledge? The Sambandha Gyan. You are servant of Krishna. He make him understand and make him realize that what kind of servant he is. That means the disciples of Prabhupada who surrendered themselves totally, they realized themselves the one kind of servant they are, and he was. Prabhupada mercifully made the realization also.
Can you tell what he has told?
What you understand?
Said that Srila Prabhupada, he has come not just to give knowledge of ordinary relationship, just
he has not come to be this.
Not just that, but he has come to give even more.
Oh, it is quite wrong. You should tell carefully. He has come in beginning this, all knowledges. These are samandha. And the roots of all these, the essence of all, that's it. So both, he has come to give both things.
I am going to give both things.
I told that Prabhupada not came only to distribute.
You should tell like this.
I'm sorry.
You are not sorry. I am also sorry. I understood like that. Now go on. Next point.
Madhurya jala premarda srupanuga bhakti da sri gaura karuna sakti vidrahaya namaskute. Sri Saraswati Thakur Prabhupada, he was the Gaura Shakti Sarupaya, he was potency of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And why he came? Sri Rupanuga Bhakti Da. He wanted to distribute Rupanuga Bhakti. So what is Rupanuga Bhakti? That Sri Krishna and his all incarnation, they are all Vishnu Datta. Eternal associate of Vishnu Datta, also Krishna. Krishna's eternal associates, they are called Agatmik Jan. He who wants to serve like them, they are called Raganuga. But he wants to serve Krishna like Swarup Goswami Pad. Seva Sadhaka Rupena Siddhan Rupena Chattrahi. In external form, the Rup Goswami, being eternal associate, he is serving like an ordinary sadhak. He wants to teach us, so he is acting like an ordinary sadhak. And he is doing Sankha Purvaka Nama Gan Nuti Vidis, and by his inner mood, like if Sumarama is serving, so he is serving divine couple in form of Rupa Manjali. So he wants to serve like Rupa Goswami Pad, like under guidance of Rupa Manjali, he wants to serve divine couple. They are called Rupanuga. All Rupanuga, also Raganuga, but all Raganuga are not Rupanugas. Why? Because Rupanuga has one speciality, that they want to serve under guidance of Rupa Manjali. So who is want to serve under guidance of Ragatmik Jan, they are Raganuga, and Rupanuga is special, they are classification. that being Raganuga, they want special category, they want to serve divine couple under guidance of Rupa Manjari, so they are Rupa Anuga. So Prabhupada, Sri Sastra came in this world, teach this, that we can desire to serve like under guidance of Rupa Manjari. And we are giving our identification that we are Gauriya Vaishnava. About Gauriya Vaishnava, Srila Prabhupada told, who is Gauriya? Srila Prabhupada explained in one lecture that Gauriya means who want to serve divine couple being in Madhur Ras, in Kanta Ras, they are called Gauriya. Srila Prabhupada in his advices, he told that we will not serve so many demigoddess. We have seen in scripture also, Alinganam Varanmanne Velapadha Jalokasam Natatra Sallajuktanam Nana Devaika Sevinam. Better we can embrace crocodile and tiger. Then what will happen? Then we sure die. So Prabhupada is telling, if we embrace crocodile or tiger, we may die, we sure die, no problem. Then we can spoil our own lifetime. But if we serve so many demigods, then so many lifetime will go, will spoil to come in Krishna consciousness being one point day. So Prabhupada instruct us, don't serve so many demigods and demigoddess. So Prabhupada instruct us, be tolerant, especially for Mathavasis who live in mod, they have to learn how to tolerate.